1490 WGCH, WGCH.com, anywhere. WGCH News Center time is 7:52. Thursday mornings at this time, we check in with State Representative Stephen Meskers of Greenwich, second Thursday of each month. Good morning, Representative. Welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. How are you doing?
Doing okay. All right. Your thoughts about the start of the session, the governor's State of the State yesterday?
You know, it was a beautiful speech by the governor, and I thought the timing delivery, you know, part of every politician's role is delivery and sparking confidence. And I thought he hit the notes in a beautiful way. I thought he had a great speech. I thought he highlighted the accomplishments of both his administration and of the first budgetary year. And he set, put the opening marker on the table, if you will, for this session. And by that, I mean, you know, we are a democratic governance of both a Senate and a House, you know, legislative body, and the executive, which is the governor. I happen to feel blessed with the governor we have. I think his priorities virtually identically align with mine. There's nuances here and there, things I'd like to see, or priorities that I would put one or two forward versus one or two others. But generically, I think he's doing an extraordinary job.
Well, one of the things, I guess, may be an issue during this session, the fiscal guardrails. What about them? And is there going to be pushback from your party, his own party, the Democratic Party, on this?
Well, you know, I think that's a fair assessment. There'll be pushback. I will be pushing with the governor. The fiscal guardrails, I mean, look, income disparities, wage growth, economic development, for the last number 10, 15 years in Connecticut haven't been that great. The turnaround has been sparked both during the pandemic and by nature of the governor's governance. So he's done the right job. He's put us on the right economic path. And now there are claims or demands to do more for our nonprofits, et cetera. I recognize the demands are valid, but you can't build a sustainable budget by, you know, it's like a homeowner. You can't build a sustainable house budget by selling off the water heater or the boiler to pay for your food for next year, right? We have to balance our priorities. And the fiscal guardrails, the most important thing about the fiscal guardrails for everyone to remember is they lead to the discipline that pays down debt. As we pay down that debt, we basically relieve about 10 cents of every dollar to be able to spend in the future years permanently. So every time I pay down a dollar, I have 10 more cents in the budget to go for the needs of the state. So paying down that debt is going to free up more for social spending. When we start going down the road of further debt, we run out of road, which is what we did in the past. And we had horrific budget deficits where we had a slight $4 billion of spending in 2017. Thank God I wasn't here to watch that debacle. So the guardrails will be in question, but, you know, I think it's fiscal prudence.
All right. What are the things you see as priorities for yourself as we move forward in this session?
Priority for myself is we're working on a bill for the reform of the State Historic Preservation Office, and not to reform their work in historic preservation as it relates to a lot of our legacy buildings, but basically to push forward on economic development. So think more renewal, adaptive reuse of factories, of buildings and town centers, so that they maintain their charm and some historic aspects, but that they can bring us forward. So it's trying to put more properties on the tax rolls, make the state more economically developable to grow the state. And what I'd like to see is, and I'm pushing, and I've been pushing through the moderate caucus that I'm a member of, and pushing through the assembly, are issues about reciprocity and compacts. Reciprocity and licensing of nurses, healthcare professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, teachers. I want to be able to open up the professions to people who are licensed in the tri-state area, make sure that we're comfortable with their licensing. But, you know, frankly, I don't think that psychosis and neurosis that is developed in New York is significantly different than psychosis and neurosis that's developed in Connecticut. So I'd like, if we think they're adequately trained in New York, I'd like to have people be able to practice in my state. Twofold benefit. We have a shortage of teachers. We have a shortage of nurses. We have a shortage of healthcare professionals. Those people will be able to practice in my state, work in my state, live in my state, pay taxes in my state. So it's a win for all of us. So I'd like to see something done there. I think early childhood education is a problem, that we need to put more funds towards that. I think the governor's got an interesting start there in his budget. I'd like to see us to start to earmark future earnings, tax revenue growth, to focus that and dedicate it to early childhood education. I think the Assembly has to take a serious approach to targeting future revenue growth to a specific priority list of endeavors in the state. I haven't seen that happen yet. I'd like to see that happen.
And then finally, the issue of housing. Is that going to be another hot issue once again during this session?
I do not expect it to be a hot issue. It'll be a nuanced issue. I think what we need to see from the state is less mandates and more funding. I think what we need to do is encourage economic growth and housing growth and development. Every town has its own view on housing. But the two states that people talk about, that they talk about both for tax reasons and climate reasons and growth reasons, are Texas and Florida. Their populations have tripled in the last 20 or 30 years. Our population is flatlined for the last, 10 or 15 years. So I would like to see some growth, but I recognize it has to happen at the local level with the local input and certainly with local control. So I want to see more growth in the state, because that's what makes our economy grow better. Certainly, Stanford has been one of those places where you see that they are now the second largest state city in the state and has done an extraordinary job. So I'm not suggesting that we need to become a city like Stanford. What I'm saying is we've got to find out where the willingness is for pockets of growth, and we have to help fund that to keep our industry growing and to keep our state as vibrant.
All right, State Representative Stephen Meskers, I'm sure we'll be talking more on this as we head through this session. Appreciate your time this morning. Have a good day.
My pleasure. You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's State Representative Stephen Meskers of